This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 352. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Lois and Diana together again. Where do writers get their ideas? An Empire Returns, not involving Darth Vader or hip-hop, set your radio dial to spooky, and it's time for the Convergence Lightning Round. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, April 26, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we've got 3 weeks to cover.
We've been gone.
Yes. But before we get into the elephant in the room, Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 9 by Bukes, Myhack, Castellucci, and Sprouse. The digital first out-of-continuity tales continue.
It was really weird, I have to say, to read this amid all the Convergence comics.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it, but it was just, it seemed weird.
Yeah. Well, we have two stories here. The first one is about a young girl that plays Wonder Woman with her bigger sister's dolls, gets into trouble for doing it, and in the end, they reconcile and play together.
Mm-hmm.
Basic story.
That was a really cute one.
Yeah. The second story remakes a famous Wonder Woman issue where Diana is interviewed by Lois Lane. Lois begins with a number of stereotypical questions, and then a robot attack breaks things up.
It seemed to me like she was asking questions off of Twitter or something. Yeah.
It really seemed like that. So Diana saves Lois with the lasso, which forces Lois to say her inner thoughts.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, I feel insecure around you. I'm worried about my career. I don't believe superheroes will save the day.
And my favorite one.
I think Clark Kent is kind of cute. And then Lois saves the day with a potted plant flash mob. And Lois ends up in a bar when Diana in her civvies arrives. So now they can have a real interview. Carl Sprouse's art really makes this story pop.
Yeah, I love this one.
Astro City number 22 from Vertigo by Busiek and Marino. A great one-shot about a fantasy writer with a great source of material. He's actually a hero living in another dimension.
Yeah, the writer was like very reminiscent of George R. R. Martin, I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and now I'm imagining George R. R. Martin actually like living
in other life.
Game of Thrones.
So he discovered mystical powers in Vietnam and fought alongside Honor Guard and now spends most of his time off-world married to this alien princess. And there's a backstory about his successor that turned out badly. But now he's wondering if it's time to hang it up. But can he shirk his responsibilities? He was given these powers by some entity. And it turns out others from this other dimension are already in training, which allows him to just go back to his writing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing reminded me of DC's Skitaris and Warlord title. The idea that this regular guy finds this other universe where he becomes like king.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Now, one thing is, I didn't even notice there was a fill-in artist. It wasn't Anderson, this guy named Marino. It was virtually the same type of art. I would never have guessed it was a fill-in artist. Empire Uprising number 1 from IDW by Wade and Kitson. This is the sequel to a beloved decade-old miniseries, which started out at this small publisher named Guerrilla Comics that quickly went out of business, and so they moved the title to DC, but it was a creator-owned title.
Now, did you read that first one?
I did read the first one, yeah. So once the rights returned to the creators, they produced a digital first sequel for Thrillbent, which is now in print at IDW, and that's what we're reading.
And it seems like I read the little column at the end, and they did make a few changes to it. They added, I think, a little bit to the printed version and did some recoloring or something.
That's what how I understand it. So the concept here is, what if the bad guy won? This supervillain Golgoth becomes Emperor of Earth, setting up a peaceful but highly controlled world with his lieutenants in key roles. And there's a whole who-can-you-trust vibe going on here. I'm not going to ruin the story, but there are a few really great points. The idea that breaking a moment of silence is punishable by death.
Mm-hmm.
This resistance group hatches a plan to take out Golgoth. His staff alternately fear, hate, and then worry about him. Now, the original series has been reprinted by IDW. They got the rights as well. So you really want to, if you're reading this and you haven't read that before, you should check that out.
So maybe I should check it out because I don't remember the first one.
Well, it's like it's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Thrilling Adventure Hour presents Beyond Belief number 1 from Image Comics by Acker, Blacker, and Hester. This is an offshoot of a long-running live show and podcast that I highly recommend. It's a modern radio show in the style of old-time radio. Some of the other segments they have, Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars, a sci-fi western, which has its own comic already.
And I think we've talked about that comic before.
Absolutely. Moonshine Holler, about a rich man in the guise of a hobo, goes town to town helping people. Captain Laserbeam, an Adam West-style superhero adventure. LA-based actors stepping into these roles, because they're all just basically reading scripts in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast is actually coming to a conclusion, so the team of Acker and Blacker can concentrate on comics and possible TV shows that they're talking about now. So Beyond Belief is The Thin Man Meets Supernatural. Frank and Sadie Doyle drink heavily while fighting ghosts and other phenomena. It's actually played by Paul F. Tompkins and Paget Brewster on the show. And it's the same writers as the show, so it should be very familiar to listeners of Thrilling Adventure Hour. I just highly recommend this title.
I liked the radio show version, the podcast, much better than the comic. I had a hard time equating this one. Now, Marshall on Mars, I did okay with the comic, but sometimes I have trouble translating between mediums. So I just couldn't get Paget Brewster's voice in my mind for the character.
Oh, I had
on
no
the
problem
page.
With that. So now let's talk about DC's Convergence. The two-month crossover event, while DC moves their headquarters from New York to LA, apparently via covered wagon. The main story here, various Brainiac drones have merged to become Telos, who protect this distant world where cities from the multiverse have been stashed. And now Telos has decided they should fight. So it's Countdown Arena or Secret Wars, basically.
So I guess my problem is all of these are plucked out of the timeline at various points.
Yeah.
But we already know the story's continued past this point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how this
how
equates.
They're
going to
resolve all
yeah,
this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cities have been living under impenetrable domes for a year, and the heroes have lost their powers. And now suddenly, after a year, the domes are gone. Telos pontificate as the domes disappear, which ends up taking 2 to 3 pages out of each issue, which was rather annoying, I thought, because it's like, okay, we know this. And I was pretty much going, oh, here's the pages where he pontificates.
Yeah.
Skip. It is literally the same speech each time. So he picks champions from each city/world to fight each other. The main issues of this type of crossover are generally called a spine story. And like a comic spine, they are as interesting as reading staples. The main story is like blah, blah, blah. They just seem to be setting up a new Earth 2 society series. The various crossover issues are far more interesting, showing us characters and worlds from throughout the DCU, mostly forgotten by DC, if not the fans. We can't talk about all of them, but I do want to talk about a number of them. And in order to do so, I think it's time for a Convergence Lightning Round.
Ooh.
Convergence JLI number 1 by Marzen Manley. The Bwahaha team is back, trapped in Metropolis without powers.
I'm going to say, one of the rare sightings of Metropolis in this miniseries issues.
that rule of no powers seems to be forgotten in some cases. It's like Red Tornado is still working because he's technology, but other technology-based heroes don't work.
Oh, okay.
So without the powers, they try to keep the peace. Fire and Blue Beetle have become a couple. Martian Manhunter and Beetle have a heart-to-heart. And then Telos starts bellowing. Their opponents? The Kingdom Come Justice League. I don't think this is going to go well.
No, it won't.
Convergence, the Atom, number one by Palin Yowl. Ray Palmer is stuck in A, Gotham, and you're going to hear that a lot.
Yes.
With only the power to shrink or enlarge his hand, not his whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually kind of reminded me of Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, indeed.
He keeps hearing voices. Civilians think he's gone around the bend. He's agonizing over the death of Ryan Choi, the other Atom. Slade Wilson has tried to have a normal life in under the dome as best he can. But here's Ray talking about him on the news. So he goes after him. They're just about to fight. And then Telos starts bellowing. Atom is whisked away to fight a member of the Extremists, which was a JLI-era bad guys from this other world.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, Ryan Choi is beside him. He's apparently the voice Ray has been hearing. So apparently, now that powers are back, Ryan has been able to re-enlarge.
Yeah, somehow he was shrunken up into
Ray's brain or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Convergence Speed Force, number one by Bedard and Grummet. Wally West is stuck in yet another Gotham, along with his kids, Iris and Jay.
Yeah.
But without his wife, Linda Park. He spends his time trying to break through the dome, without powers, of course. And then Telos starts bellowing. He speeds out to other cities. He finds the Justice Riders of the Old West have already lost to Hawk World. We get glimpses of Bizarro World, Earth-X, who are fighting Future's End cyborgs, Kandor, the antimatter universe of Quard, and Earth-C, which is where the anthropomorphic animals went, including Fastback, their super-fast turtle.
Yes.
Their opponent, the Flashpoint, Wonder Woman, and the Amazons. Convergence the Flash, number one by Abnett and Della Joccio. Barry Allen is, we see him just before the events in Crisis on Infinite Earths. He's trapped in yet another Gotham, working for the GCPD. His female partner flirts with him. Barry gets a pep talk from Bruce, and then Telos starts bellowing. Barry's opponent, the Tangent Universe Superman. Convergence, the question, number one by Rucka and Hamner. This is the Renee Montoya question. She and Two-Face are defending yet another Gotham. He's breaking into pharmacies to get the last drugs. Remember, they've been under the dome for a year, so all the drugs have run out. So the clinics have something to work with. He's actually being a good guy. Renee and Helena, a.k.a. Huntress, are roommates. And maybe more. We don't know. Two-Face keeps getting heads on his coin. He's flipping the coin, keeps getting heads, so he has to do good things. And he's wondering why he should keep going. He's basically becoming suicidal. And then Telos starts bellowing. Two-Face punches Renee out, and then Batwoman arrives, and their opponent will apparently be another Two-Face. It's not really stated except in the blurb at the very bottom that there's two Two-Faces.
Yes.
Convergence, Supergirl Matrix, number one by Giffen and Green II. Like any Giffen story, there's a lot of arguing, this time between Matrix and Luthor. And then Telos starts bellowing. Giffen brings back classic characters from Crisis on Infinite Earths, Lord Volt and Lady Quark, who spend more time bickering than fighting. And then Ambush Bug arrives. The dialogue is great and the story is wacky.
It is. I love this one.
Convergence, The Adventures of Superman, number one, by Wolfman and Vayakava. For a Superman title, the main character is really Supergirl. In this case, the 80s headband Kara, trapped in, say it with me,
another Gotham. Oh my gosh. Everybody just happened to go to Gotham right before the dome's down.
Cal and Kara escape with the help of Lucius Fox to the Phantom Zone, the idea being they will then escape the zone and the dome. They're going to go on end round here. And then Telos starts bellowing. The Phantom Zone criminals attack Cal while Supergirl runs into a yellow gas plot device that displays Kara's story, including her death in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. So now she's torn. Does she save Cal or the multiverse by accepting her fate and dying in that event? So So she decides to save Cal, but they miss the rupture in the zone that was only there for a few minutes, and now they're trapped. Meanwhile, an army of gorillas from Commandy's universe attack Gotham.
So, who knows? There's no heroes now in that Gotham, apparently.
Apparently. So I'm guessing Lucius Fox is going to have to hold him off with tech. Convergence Batgirl number 1 by Quitney and Leonardi. We get Cassandra and Stephanie as Batgirls, along with Tim Drake, fighting Catman and Grodd's army from Flashpoint. It's done in a flashback, which is a nice change of pace, because the other stories were basically setting things up. Hello's bellows. They find out who's going to...
Yes.
Gonna, the opponent's going to be. So back in yet another yada yada Gotham, Stephanie works in a clinic. She blows off Killer Moth. She and Cassandra are roommates, who at one point debate eating a guinea pig. Remember, under a dome for a year.
Yes, and apparently everybody breeds guinea pigs for food.
Right. And then Telos starts bellowing, thankfully off screen in this case. Stephanie is chosen as a champion. The others try to retrain her. She hasn't worn the cape in a year. They're zapped into the desert, where the fight actually begins. I thought it was a really good choice to mix up the story.
Mm-hmm.
Convergence Nightwing and Oracle number 1 by Simone and Dursema. We start with the Justice Riders losing to Hawkworld. And then we move on to, you guessed it, Gotham, where Nightwing is keeping the peace. He fights Mr. Freeze, who has already given up, really, because he's already stolen the same diamonds twice now.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, what is the point? Dick and Babs are now a couple. Of course, Starfire was also trapped under the same dome. So she and Grayson are seeing each other on the side.
I don't know. I didn't know if they were actually seeing each other or if she was just giving him advice.
Yeah, it seemed more like more than advice. Poison Ivy is keeping the city fed, and the city has basically gone vegan by necessity. Dick takes Babs out on a date and proposes to her, and she's about to say no, and then Telos starts bellowing. The Hawks arrive, and the battle is on, but Babs is already working her computer magic.
Yes.
Of all the stories, this is the one I enjoyed the most.
Well, it was the people that the Oracle we like and that sort of thing. Although I thought, what about Poison Ivy? How could she grow things if she shouldn't have her powers?
Well, she's just really good at farming, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, why can't other people do that? So there you go. We will have more of these lightning rounds as we move our way through Convergence.
Which is much better than I thought it would be.
That's true. All right. We're running late, so we're going to skip who's on the cover this week because there's just so much to talk about.
And Mark wouldn't guess it anyways.
Well, there you go. So want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.